Hi, my name is Allison Mead. Welcome to LAFPI's podcast series. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights, and today I'm going to be speaking with Nancy Eng, whose play, The Women of Tuna House, is currently making its West Coast debut at the Hollywood Fringe Festival. Nancy Eng attended NYU's Tisch School of the Arts and has numerous credits in theater, television, and film, most notably on 30 Rock, Rubicon, and Law & Order SVU. She was part of Pan Asian Rep's Vietnam Project and the 13th Street Repertory Theater's production of Orphans, and is also a founding ensemble member of Leviathan Lab. Welcome, Nancy.
Hello, Allison. It's glad to be here.
Well, the Women of Tuna House is a one-woman show which has you playing eight characters from both genders. So I wondered what the genesis of the project was and how it came together for you.
Well, it actually started upon the death of my cat, Madison, where I found myself in a total funk. And so my husband had signed me up for a workshop so that I could get out of the house and do something instead of just sit there and cry about my cat passing away.
Yeah.
And as a form of therapy, I wrote something expressing how I felt regarding the death of my cat, which I realized a lot of people feel, but they feel that they don't have the right to feel that way because it's not a person.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, both my parents passed away when I was young, and I managed to get over that quickly, but for some reason, the death of my cat, Madison, was very, you know, troubling.
Sure,
so I wrote
sure.
this, and things took off from there. I didn't want it to be ending on a sad note, so I was encouraged to, you know, try to write something, you know, do some sort of project around it. However, what happened was the lab instructor, Ernest Abuba, who is an OB award winner and also on the faculty of Sarah Lawrence, he encouraged me to try to write a, you know, ensemble piece or a one-woman show. Actually, it started out as an ensemble.
Okay.
So I wrote these characters, and originally I thought about, you know, having an ingenue and then a mid-age actress and then an older actress playing all the characters. And somehow it ended up me doing all of them.
Well, it takes place in a massage parlor, and so that's a world that most people have a pretty fixed idea about.
Well,
kind of
yeah,
like who
I
works
mean,
there and what goes on. But I wondered what you most wanted audiences to see about this world as the play's writer.
I wanted them to see that these women are not always coerced. They don't see themselves as victims.
Okay.
That this is something that they're doing that they've chosen, and they have, you know, they live their lives like normal people.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, you know, think about it as, you know, themselves, that this is what I do. You know, some of them are proud. Some of them are happy. I mean, some of them, you know, I mean, people are under the misconception that a lot of these women were, like, trafficked in or that they, I mean, I'm sure there are, not to belittle that, not to say that people are coerced. But then there are people, and we know that because it's legal in certain areas of our, you know, in the world, in certain countries it is legal. Especially and also in Reno, Nevada, you're allowed to work legally, you know, in a brothel. And I wanted people to know that these women are not victims.
Mm-hmm.
They're strong women, and they have their own stories, and they feel no shame, you know, to themselves.
Yeah. You also have typical Asian stereotypes that are sometimes visited in the piece, but also newer Asian touchstones like Jeremy Lin. So I was wondering how you felt they fit into the message of the play.
Well, we get little, you know, stereotypes in which people assume that all Chinese people know each other or that because he's Jeremy Lin, yes, there's a lot of Asian Americans that jumped on the bandwagon when, you know, he had his thing. But for someone who's not, someone who is, you know, not a citizen of the country or someone who has come here from another country, it's not as important, these icons. I mean, they're trying to survive. They're, you know, work making their living. And, you know, someone like Jeremy Lin, who is doing something to them they feel is frivolous, like playing basketball.
Mm.
Or in this case, you know, she doesn't even watch him, so she's not even sure if it is basketball, and she thinks it's baseball. And, you know what I mean? So that for her, she's upset that, why do you assume that I would know him? We have nothing in common.
Right. Well, you have three performances of The Woman of Tuna House coming up over the this next week, but I also wondered what was next, both for the play itself, after Hollywood Fringe, and also for you, if there's anything new on the horizon as well.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff on the horizon. I mean, there's been interest about filming either The Women of Tuna House as an episodic on a cable channel, or rewriting it for a screenplay in which I would not be playing all the characters, but
right.
their stories in which, and in some way how it was done in Joy Luck Club, where you would get, you know, it would be part narrative, part present, and part in flashback. But it would all be, you know, tying together with their customers and with the people who, you know, they interact with. And I specifically set the piece so that it was not in some Chinatown tenement in the Lower East Side or something, you know, hidden in the dark alleys. This tuna house all takes place in a brownstone that is situated steps from the United Nations. So it's in a very upscale neighborhood of Beekman Place. But they are not, you know, it's not a high-class escort service. It's, you know, it's by a fluke. This woman did not decide to open, you know, a business like this. I mean, she came upon the brownstone due to a turn of fate, not realizing, you know, which also tells you, you never know where life will take you.
Yeah, you really don't. I mean, I think that's really excellent. I mean, LAFPI is very supportive of women in theater in general, but also women writers, and it's wonderful to know that your play, which is great, you know, and everyone should go see it, is also probably going to enjoy another life. I mean, that's great for you, and it's great for women writers. So,
yes,
so much to spend your time with me today, because I know you're busy this week.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, I wish I was doing more shows, and it was unfortunate incident in which I was scheduled to do more performances at another venue. However, the venue had closed.
Okay.
So it was too late for me then to book another venue and get a good time that audiences could come. So I'm lucky that I was able to, you know, that I had these three performances at the Open Fist Theater Company.
Well, yeah, maybe I'm gonna encourage people to skip work. Call in sick. Go see The Women of Tuna House. So,
I mean, Saturday at 3:30, and, you know, yeah, there's the 5:30, and tonight we have our preview at 8 o'clock and the West Coast premiere of Tuna House, and they kindly come to L.A. and play. So.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, The Women of Tuna House runs at the Open Fist Theater for three performances only on June 12th at 8 p.m., June 14th at 5:30 p.m., and June 16th at 3:30 p.m. So get your tickets by visiting www.hff12.org/698 or www.womenoftunahouse.com. For more information about LAFPI's resources, activities, and opportunities, please visit www.lafpi.com.